Welcome back, everybody. It's time again for another episode of the Pedego Podcast and the e-bike revolution. Join us each week as we talk with the entrepreneurs behind this movement and the love stories of those just riding along. And today, well, we've got somebody that's done both. He's been part of the entrepreneurial evolution of this, as well as decided to jump on board and ride along with it. We have Cassidy Castleman with us here today. Welcome, sir.
Thanks, Paul. Thanks for having me. Thanks for welcoming me into your wacky studio here.
With all the stuff. Hey, you know, I'm Irish, so it's got to look like some sort of fairy tale to me here. It's got to look like a little leprechaun village here.
I should mention I'm also a Pedego customer. My wife and I have one of the tandems, which is twice as fun as any other Pedego.
So you hit all three of the themes of this show here. You're part of the group that's decided to drive this thing along, and you jumped in and decided to ride along and join the company itself after a certain point. And you're a customer, too? This is like, who's the guy that always says the hair club? I'm not just selling it. I'm a customer, too, here. That's you.
When we got our tandem, I thought it was going to be the one time in our marriage that I was going to be in complete control.
Oh, yes. You must have been earlier on, because if you've been married as long as I have, you start to realize you're never in control here.
Yeah, I found out quickly. She could still give instructions from the back seat.
There you go. Well, we're going to go through all of that. Let's start with the beginning here. Let's start at the beginning of this journey here. Your father was literally like one of the first or the first Pedego dealers here way back when, 2010?
Yeah, you got it. My story with Pedego starts with my dad. For as long as I can remember, dreamed of having a bike shop.
Really? Okay.
Not many people, probably a lot of the store owners you talk to, that's not really their dream.
None of them, not one of them ever said that was in their vision here.
It was his dream, and got to be one of those things when wherever he would talk about it, I would just kind of roll my eyes because I didn't think he would ever do it.
And what had he done before? What was
when I was growing up, he was an HVAC repairman and used appliances.
Okay.
And he had kind of been through a number of different, almost you'd call them false starts.
Yeah, right.
Odds and ends.
But he wanted to work for himself. Why bikes? Was he a bike rider? Was he passionate about bikes?
Yeah. His story with bikes is kind of a story of its own. We'll skip over that one for today.
Okay.
But let's just start. He dreamed of having a bike shop.
Okay.
The big change came for him when he was diagnosed with prostate cancer.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
He came down here to Southern California. We're from Sacramento.
Okay.
And he got a radiation treatment. He had a radiation vacation.
Is that what they call it? Oh my God!
He was part of vacation. He was part of a support group that they call the Brotherhood of the Balloon. Don't ask.
Okay, all right. Sort of visions here, but all right, we won't go into that one either.
And as part of that support group, they presented the question to him. Basically, you've been given a second chance at life here.
Yeah.
It's a gift you've been given. What are you going to do with it? And for him, it just clicked. He said, I've got to do this.
Now or never, yeah.
And so March of 2010, we opened up a store in Old Town, Sacramento. And originally, the idea was for me to just kind of work part-time. So mm-hmm. my dream was to sell solar systems mm-hmm. and go to school. And when I got out of school, I wanted to join the Peace Corps. That was as far as my dream.
Peace Corps. Oh, how cool is that? Right. That's in my era here, John F. Kennedy. You know, just as a quick aside, I went to the University of Michigan, and there's a little plaque outside the Michigan Union where he first gave the speech to set up the Peace Corps in whatever year that was, 62 or 61 or 60 something.
Yeah. I've heard that speech. Yeah, it's given me chills thinking about it. It's a pretty moving thing for our listeners, all two of them. if you haven't heard that, you might look it up and
yeah,
listen.
Go
it's
Google
pretty
it,
inspiring. Right. Yeah. So that was as far as my dream got. And so I figured I could help the old man out with this business kind of on the side.
Sure. This was his dream and made it through. He's still alive. He's got a second chance. Why not support him and maybe make a little money along the way here?
So one day I'm sitting in class. I was a college student at California State University, Sacramento.
Okay.
And I still don't really understand why they have such a class, but it was an entrepreneurship class.
Right. As if you can teach everybody just how to do this. Here's the three steps. You go out and do it, and you're an entrepreneur. Yeah.
And I had a moment of clarity, which can be a dangerous thing to have, where I realized that two things. The first, that it really didn't make sense to be sitting in a class learning about entrepreneurship.
No, some things you got to do. Yeah.
And the second was that it was really a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to do something with my dad.
Yeah. I think I got to stop you again here because I never had a chance to do that but once with my dad. My dad was a big executive for Chrysler Corporation. He started off poor in the assembly line, fought his way up through the Depression and World War II, and become this big corporate exec, you know, something you just don't think happens anymore here. Did PR and I did events. And one time I had my dad come down and help me on an event I was doing. And what a kick that was. Him watching me do what I do and him trying to figure out how he could help me. I always talked about it to the day he died, that one weekend he helped me just sort of as a helper work on one of my events. It was such a cool thing.
It was such a beautiful gift to me. And a lot of people don't believe me when I tell them, but my dad and I worked together for about 4 years. Mm-hmm. And during that time, we only had one argument.
Really? And what was that about?
Well, it lasted for the entire 4 years.
Oh, I see. Same argument.
And that's a little bit, and I'll get to that
later. I can
see
why you have an Irish first name. You say you're not Irish, but that's a very Irish way of telling a story. Go ahead. All right. So you're working with your dad for 4 years. You're being an entrepreneur in real life.
Well, okay. So before our show, you kind of mentioned you like to hear the conflict and the struggle.
Well, yeah, because, you know, I studied screenwriting. I studied storytelling. Everybody wants to start at the beginning. It was tough. My dad's story started off in the Depression and became a corporate exec. Great. That's not a story because you didn't hear all the years he struggled and fought and how hard it was to get where he was. That's what people are really inspired by because that's what we can relate to.
Well, of course, the electric bike business is booming today.
Today, yeah. It seems like a no-brainer. Everybody wants in on the electric bike. But back in 2010, there probably weren't a lot of people beating down the door saying, got to have one of these things.
I'm kind of in the right place at the right time now, but it took me 10 years to get there.
To get there, exactly. Yeah.
So when we started, electric bikes was, you know, nothing. Nobody knew what electric bikes
no,
were.
No, exactly.
Pedego, the business model that Pedego has today, was not developed yet. The first Pedego store didn't come along. I know Tom was a previous guest of your
Tom
show.
Tom was here. He was one of the
that
early stores down here, yeah.
Over 2 years in the future when he opened up.
Right.
So there was really no such thing as a Pedego store.
And even Don admitted in what we'll call the origin story, the first episode in this series here, where he talked about his journey. It was first stumbling on it himself. And he had a need. He and his buddies wanted to ride a bike, but it was hard as you get older to come back up the hill. It was fun going down the hill, but not up the hill. And he started looking around, and e-bikes themselves hadn't really been developed. There were no lithium batteries in the day, so it was literally like a motorcycle battery, right?
Well, we came a little later than that. So the original Pedegos had lithium batteries. Of course, on the first kind of batch, first 6 months or so of bikes, every single battery eventually needed to be replaced in short order.
Well, he was talking about even before, I mean, this is before he created Pedego. I mean, he just wanted to go out and get an electric bike. The only ones he could find was a little motorcycle battery stuck on a bicycle. And it, you know, it didn't last long, it didn't work long, it didn't charge well, fast up, all that kind of stuff.
We had made some progress by 2010. It was a little bit better, but not much. Mm-hmm. And a couple of things, the depth of the product line wasn't there. So there was basically a cruiser bike was all you had.
Right.
The other thing is all the support that you get as a Pedego dealer today, none of that existed. So we had to kind of create everything from scratch, from our website and print materials. And
sure, because I don't think Don, maybe I'm overstating this, but I don't think in the beginning he really saw this as more than a store. He wanted a proof of concept, as he said. Could you really sell electric bikes? Could you sell electric anything? He had golf carts. He had scooters. He tried a whole range of things. He quickly saw there was something coming here, and he even had a little electric car, I think, for a while. And out of that, the bike is the one that he kept coming back to that made the most sense, that had the most appeal, that seemed like something that he could manufacture that nobody else was doing. So when you guys came along and Tom and some of these other people, I don't think he was out looking for dealers. He wasn't beating the bushes. If he was, he didn't have a vision of a grand dealer network all across the nation.
Yeah, we were just at the cutting edge of it. And we felt that. The awareness wasn't there. It was really a struggle to get started. So there's some kind of, you know, stories, short stories I can tell you.
What's the biggest struggle? I'm going to guess, and then you tell me if this is true. Several of your dealers have talked about this. Don talked about it. In the beginning, the bicycle shops, again, your dad wanted to own a bike shop. Most bike shops didn't want an electric bike because they saw it as cheating. It wasn't a real bike. It was something else. How could an electric motor fit in with a bicycle? It seemed to be a contradiction. Did you feel that? Or did you experience that? Or did everybody just get it and go, oh, no, this is a great idea?
there's always resistance to a new idea. So the lack of awareness and lack of kind of demand for electric bikes, we had to go out there and create the demand, get people on the bike. But you asked what the biggest challenge was. Well, Don will tell you, the only way that a business fails is if it runs out of money. So that was our biggest challenge is, you know, we always wanted more money.
Yeah, right.
And so I actually lived in the back of our bike store.
Oh, you're kidding.
For years, and literally in a sleeping bag.
That's dedication. No, you're doing it here.
The other thing, the kind of war story we like to tell is where our store is located, we had a restaurant behind us, a very nice restaurant. And bike sales were so few and far between back then. When we'd sell a bike, we'd go out to dinner.
Of course.
A lot of people get a kick
we
out of that.
We got one.
Yeah. So we made a deal with the baker that would deliver their bread for $5 a week. He would deliver a fresh loaf of sourdough bread for us every day. So that's what we ate. For lunch every single day.
Wow.
You grab a handful of sourdough bread and nibble it down, and then you'd get back to work.
So the obvious question is, why did you stick with it? This is something nobody's ever heard of before. Traditional bike shops are turning up their nose. You're something new, an electric bike store, selling something that nobody had ever seen before, and it took a while for that to catch on. Why stick with it?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Is it just determination? That would be my dad, you know, well, by God, I'm going to do this one way or another. Or you're living in the back, you're going to make this work. Or did you see something happening that gave you hope? I mean, sales must be going up, it must be breaking through a little bit. Or was it just something else that I can't see here?
Well, it might have been stupidity.
No, I don't think that.
I think the things about it for us, you know, and you mentioned the conflict, every good story, and it really was that kind of, especially with my dad and I, us against the world.
Yeah.
And there was some of that where we'd kind of pull together. I mean, we'd fight like hell about it, and then we'd, you know, kind of get back together and kind of battle
What
on.
Did he want to do? What did you want to do?
We won't get into all that.
But did you want to expand? Did you want to do something different? Did you want to have other electric vehicles? Because Don talked about it. He tried in the beginning. He had a little bit of everything in his first store, his proof of concept store. He didn't know if an electric bike store itself could make it. Did you have to sell golf carts and skateboards and everything else?
Well, we sold other bikes, and we had a great rental business. We didn't sell other electric bikes, but we sold regular pedal bikes part of our business. But the other thing I think that held us together was, originally it started with my dad that had a passion for it, but it's contagious, and you'll learn this about Pedego. People really get hooked on it, and when you see the change that something as simple as a bike can have on somebody's life, it really is inspiring. If you can change even just one person's life, what's that worth?
And how rare is that? I didn't really have a lot of retail experience, but I had some growing up in different businesses or when I came out to California. I worked with manufacturers of hot tubs and other things. They had retail stores. The hot tub was a fun product, but it didn't change your life.
Yeah.
It didn't alter things. It was, you know, it was cool, it was hip, it was fun. A lot of things, exercise equipment. It's fun. It's great. You think you can do something. And then pretty soon the thrill wears off and it's in the garage and nobody ever uses it. Same with the hot tubs and everything. There's something about this that catches hold of people. And as far as I've heard, listen to some of the past stories or some of the love stories here. People are become passionate about these things. It becomes part of their whole life.
Well, it has what I call the trifecta.
Okay.
So before this, I was in the solar business. So it had two things that I loved about it. The first was that it had a future.
Yes, very much so.
The second was that it was had a positive impact. You want to feel like you're making a meaningful difference.
Right.
But what it
not
lacked,
just selling a toaster here, something have an impact in people's lives, right? And the world and the planet.
More of the society, not necessarily on someone's life, because if you put solar on your roof, life goes on.
I suppose. It's just electricity from another source.
So that's the third part of the trifecta is the life-changing aspect of it.
Yeah, that's true, really. If you get solar, it doesn't change your life. It may change the planet's life. We all want to make a contribution. We all want to help the cause here. But getting power in a different way doesn't change my personal life. It just makes me feel like I'm contributing.
Yeah. So that's part of what kept us going. Is we're my dad especially. He's really, if there ever was a starry-eyed idealist, it's him. And that's kind of caught on with me a little. That's kind of a little bit of our story of struggle. And then the kind of next part of the story is when I came down here to Southern California.
That's just as amazing, because here you are, you're finally getting this thing going, it's starting to take off, and all of a sudden you decide, hey, I want to be part of the bigger picture here. I don't want to just have a little piece, a store, as great as that can be, work with my dad. I want to see if I can't help form this vision and help this company. You joined Pedego.
Well, accounts differ as to exactly how I ended up down here.
Okay.
I'll tell you the more interesting story.
That's what I'm looking for.
There's no truth in this at all, but it's still a good story.
It might be so good, it might even be true. Yeah.
According to Don, my dad sent me down here in a used Pedego box. He poked some holes in it and shipped me down.
That seems reasonable.
And it was for a 90-day trial. Mm-hmm. And after 90 days, Don called my dad and said, okay, we'll keep them, but we're going to keep the box. And so Don, yeah. Now, 7 years on, Don, still has the box.
Still has the box. And always a threat. You might be sent back north here.
That's how I know it's time for my annual review. He'll pull the box out and I walk in and say, oh, it must be time for my review.
It must be time, yeah. Now, I'm going to guess again here. You wanted to join the Peace Corps. I already hear you went into solar. You have a certain vision of, well, I want to change the world, not just change my own life and make a little money and have a little fun and help a few people locally. I see bigger visions. Am I hearing correctly here?
You know, the truth is that the reason I came down here was my dad and I just eventually couldn't get along anymore. We try. I love my dad very much. We were just on vacation together last week, and we're very close.
Nobody should ever work with their family or their friends more than a weekend. It was fun for a weekend. It's something to do, but come on. This is really hard to work with family and friends.
Well, they say your family knows how to push your buttons because they're the ones that installed them.
Yes, exactly.
So, and we just decided that it was, for our relationship, we couldn't work together anymore.
Right.
And it was actually my dad's idea. I don't think it ever really occurred to me. I don't know what I was thinking. I hadn't really thought much about it. But
you could have just left and gone on with your life. You're young.
Gone back to school. Who knows? But my dad actually called Don and suggested it. And then Don called me and said, well, what do you think? And I flew down here and spent a day or two kind of,
I'm going to guess, maybe you're resisting this, but I'm going to guess your dad thought, if he can't work with me, but maybe this is a bigger part of a picture here, bigger vision.
Well, so I think
maybe that'll make my son happy.
He had ulterior motive. My role, especially in today still at Pedego, but initially 100% of my role was focused on supporting the dealers.
Oh, okay.
And so
he wants an insider in there.
It's really one of the, looking back, I was just thinking about this the other day, it's really rewarding for me and humbling in a way to think of the impact that my role in my dad's business, you know, it's mm-hmm. obviously made a huge difference in his life to have given him a sense of purpose and given him his financial security to have this.
Is he still
success.
Doing it?
Oh, yes. He's still, he's got two locations in the Sacramento area. And, you know, I can't take credit for it, but I know I played a part in it.
Yeah.
And so that's really rewarding. And, you know, of course,
he finally got his vision and you helped either through the struggle or the sleeping in the back room or whatever it was. I would think you had some role in that. Yeah.
Well, and so what he got when I came down here to work for Pedego is he still got the benefit of my services because I'm there to support him. But now
somebody else pays.
Don's paying the bill. Yeah. So I think that was kind of his thinking.
All right.
But it worked out, and it's just been an incredible.
We're going to have to get your dad on here now and hear his side of the story. He's going to tell a totally different thing. You're at Pedego, and what do you do at Pedego?
Well, so I started. I had a pretty broad charter, if you want to call it that, and it was...
How big was Pedego? It must have been a pretty small company.
Golly. Well, it was 2014, so, you know, I don't know, maybe we had 20 dealers, 15 dealers, somewhere in that neighborhood. It's just a handful of us.
Yeah, we're 10 times bigger than that now here, yeah.
Yeah, it's changed a lot, and the charter was just kind of, you know, support our stores. Take the things... Well, I should have mentioned that my dad and I were became the largest Pedego dealer in the world.
Really? Congrats.
4 years in a row we were more than double the volume of any other Pedego store.
And you must have been kind of the guinea pig. You must have been the experiment store here. From your experience and some of those earlier dealers, Tom and others, somehow this model came together. I don't think it wasn't hatched as a complete idea back in 2010 by Don, by you, by anybody, I think. It sort of evolved over time, didn't it?
That's right. But by 2014, we had learned a thing or two. And even today, as successful as the stores are, and it's amazing to see how well people are doing, we were still selling more than most back then, more than most Pedego stores are selling today.
I'll tell you the other thing that surprises me, and I'm sure this isn't true in every dealer. You're closing in on 200 now. We're doing this in 2021, so in the future, you know, look back and they'll say 200. Oh my God, they're up to 500, up to 1,000 now, or something. Whatever it is, the point being that I'm surprised how many I keep coming across who started with one and now have more than one store. That says a lot. Not a lot of people are opening one little small business, a paint store, and suddenly they got three paint stores. You know, they probably stick with that one, or a postal center or whatever. You know, there are lots of entrepreneurial businesses, lots of franchise kinds of license kinds of things you can do out there.
Well, part of that goes to what we were talking about, is we had developed a system and found things that worked. And when you can make it work once, you can make it work twice, maybe. So
right. That
was the original idea, is we would take these things that were working so well for us and apply them to other stores.
Who started renting them? Because that's, to me, one of the genius things. It seems so obvious now. Put people on the bike and let them try it, as opposed to what 99% of the other electric bike manufacturers do, is buy it, I'll ship it to you.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know whether I like it, whether I'll fit in it, whether I'll really use it. It becomes that exercise equipment that I bought on TV on impulse and sits in my garage for the rest of eternity.
So we rented bikes from day one. Mm-hmm. Tom, of course, in Huntington Beach rented bikes from day one. And we did it back then for two reasons. The first was, I mentioned we needed money.
Yeah, sure.
So that was easy money. I shouldn't say easy, but it was quick.
Rather than just sit there, this inventory, and grow stale, and nobody's buying it, and what do we do? We got to get people to try it, and maybe we can get a little money in the process.
Well, that's right. And you'd get people to try it. So that was one of the things, is, you know, there weren't many people in 2014 that knew how to run an electric bike rental business that could teach it. So
didn't exist.
That was the kind of first part of taking the things that worked. And then the second part that it kind of evolved into was developing a system that's pretty well developed today, and it gets better mm-hmm. every day, of what kind of support is available. So it started with Tom mm-hmm. saying, okay, I'll open this store, but I need Pedego to, you know, handle my website, to handle my business cards.
Don't you even floor these things and have some sort of financing program?
Yeah, and none of that.
Okay, right.
None of that existed when I started. In fact, we used to beg Don, please, you know, give us some floor plan, and he would just kind of laugh.
Yeah,
but of course, that's all done. And so, as a team, Tom obviously was involved, and Don and lots of other people along the way.
Because they're saying, we need this. If you want us to expand, if you want us to really survive and thrive, you must have enough inventory and model selection and all those other things. We got to put some things in place, like a flooring plan.
Right. We've developed a system over the years that really, I would take the Pepsi challenge with any franchise out there that's charging fees. And we went, we went to franchising conferences. We learned from them. We have a process for new stores development. And it's not perfect, but it's getting better.
So it has elements of support you'd expect to see in a franchise, but it's not technically a franchise. You guys chose not to go that route.
That's right. Yeah, we say no rules and no royalties.
I like that. Say that again. No rules and no royalties.
That's
okay.
Because right.
There's a lot wrong with franchises, too. Everybody buys into them. One of your dealers, Rich, said he was originally looking for a franchise because the assumption is, I will buy a system that's complete. But then the control and the royalties, and you got to buy the secret sauce from them and everything. There's a lot wrong with that model, too.
Well, I wouldn't say wrong. It's just, you know, some people like Chevys and some people like Fords.
A lot of franchises have been challenged in the last few years.
Different things are good for different
right.
people. And so, and we look for this kind of
hybrid, almost kind of a thing, yeah.
You asked about what it was like to come to work for Pedego, and one of the things that I've loved is that it's a very entrepreneurial company.
Clearly.
And also, the way our system is set up, it gives our dealers the freedom to be entrepreneurs. Some of the best ideas that we've had didn't come from us sitting in the offices.
They come
from out there. And I always, you know, tell the story, you know, you can name any one of them from history. And McDonald's is a good one, where the mm-hmm. Big Mac and Ronald McDonald and the idea of doing breakfast, all of that stuff came from the people running the restaurants.
Yeah,
the same with
right.
Subway, the $5 footlong, and the thing mm-hmm. with Jared was something that...
Really? I didn't know all that. Yeah. Right.
Someday you'll take the time to learn about the story of how Jared came about. It's really fascinating. The corporate people actually fought it. And the franchisee believed in it so much that him and the advertising guy put up their own money.
You're kidding.
To do it.
Oh,
yeah, that's a story for another podcast.
But see, that's the power. Again, franchises can be very command and control. It's top down, and there isn't much bottom up. And under your system, it sounds like there's a lot of bottom up, starting with you guys bubbling up ideas of what's a dealer do and how do you run a bike shop and how do you run a rental shop and what do you need to survive in this business, like flooring plans and other things. All of that stuff takes some experiment and time to figure it out.
Well, and so when you talk about, you know, people's lives being changed by owning a Pedego, and then you think about what a life change it is to own a Pedego store. And for me to even just have a tiny little part of that, and even with my dad, you know, supporting his store,
it just
would be impossible for me to say how rewarding that is.
And that's the two things I think we'll take away from this story. One is that I'm still surprised. Pedego is a great product. I've read all the reviews. Everybody says well built, well supported, one of the first to market, all those great things. But that doesn't mean that it's going to change my life. And that doesn't mean that there's an entrepreneurial story opportunity for me to actually sell these things. That's not the way most of the other e-bike companies operate. They're making good products. They're selling them as many as they can, but they don't do a lot of support. They don't do a lot of, they're not generating other successful entrepreneurs. They're not spinning out other success stories here. And you guys are. That's what I think. That's why I think there's so many people riding along on this story. The entrepreneurs who are profiting from it and contributing to it and helping it, and the customers that they talk about all the time who leave with such a big smile. You didn't get that when you sell the toaster store or the solar store, maybe. I don't know. Did everybody walk out with a big smile after they installed your solar? They might have felt happy, but
yeah.
I don't know. You tell me. Is there something really different about this?
Yeah, it's very special. It's been an incredible gift to me for over a decade now. So that's my story, and
you're sticking to it.
It's been in crescendo, and it's the peak now that I've reached. The pinnacle is being here on your show.
Clearly. This is the moment you've been looking for your whole life. This is your life. We've come to this moment here.
Yep.
Where does it go from here? Does Pedego continue to go onward and upward? Are there new mountains to climb, or is it just, you know, there's so much more ahead here? Because on the one hand, I see you got a couple hundred dealers, but I asked Don once, I said, you know, what's the goal? He says, you know, a couple thousand, you know, is that really possible? Are these going to be all over the world? I really feel like we're on the cusp of something bigger happening. E-bikes, e-cars, everything. Something's changing.
Yeah, we feel we're about 1% done.
1% done, wow. That's an amazing tale to say that you see how far you've gone, how hard it was to get here to that 1%. And then you look ahead and say, but the mountain's still 99% there. Amazing. Well, thank you for coming in and sharing your story here. Thanks for telling us some of the honest, open things that you had to sleep in the store in the early days. Come on. I don't think anybody does that anymore, do they?
Not that I know.
You've got it a little more dialed in than that here. All the success I'm hearing your dealers are having. If people want to learn more about Pedego, where do they go? Are you the guy they talk to up front, or there must be business development people now that must be more formalized?
Yeah.
And you're, what, on the back end to help support the dealers and grow the dealers?
That's right, yeah. I really don't do much of anything these days. That's kind of the...
why you were free today here.
The recording's off, right?
Yeah, it's off. Don really does it to keep your dad happy. That's what he told me here. He made a commitment to your dad, take care of my son, make him happy, and that's what he's done here. Noelle, you've clearly made a lot of people happy, including your dad, even after the arguments you had. And Don and everybody else, we thank you for the support. I look forward to meeting more of the team, because I think there's a lot of you. You all have this kind of entrepreneurial... aw shucks, you know, we're just doing it.
Well, and you mentioned if people want to learn more,
right.
What you can do, the perfect way to learn more would be to listen to some more of these podcasts. Subscribe and listen to more of them.
There's a story here. There really is. It's more than the story of a successful company. It's how they spin off other entrepreneurial stories and then the incredible way this really is apparently affecting people's lives and turning them into passionate Pedego bicycle owners here. There's something special going on here. I haven't quite put my finger on it, but I'm going to find out along the way here, right along with us here on the Pedego podcast. Thanks for joining us. Well, there you have it, folks. One more reason, the real truth of where we're headed, where we've been, and how far we have to go on the Pedego podcast and the e-bike revolution. Join us each week as we talk with the entrepreneurs, like today's guest, behind the movement, and the love stories of those just riding along. Brought to you by Pedego Electric Bikes. For more information You know where to go, pedego.com. That's P-E-D-E-G-O, pedego.com.